We'll now continue in the study of the chronological study of the Word of God. It's now the 14th session, and we're looking at Genesis chapter 9 to 11 about the Babel Tower. So last week we looked at how people were separated and divided, and languages were also separated as well. So from there on end, as the nations have scattered all over the world, what happens in the history becomes extremely complex. And so we really need to know the missing link, so what really happened during this time between the Bible and history, so that we know that there's a factual basis to the Bible. Because if we don't do that, then we consider the Bible as having nothing to do, no application to us. So through the scattering of nations and the division of people, we want to see what God has done through this work. So From the archaeological discoveries and the world history up to the time of David, there doesn't seem to be any inconsistencies. But from there on, from the time of David until now, there is differences. So there are a lot of differences also between. So there's no conflict about the time from David, and not up to David, I think is what Pastor's saying. But there are a lot of differences between the original history, what happened in the patriarchal age, what happens in the Exodus and the judgment. So we need to really think about the differences and quite seriously. So last week we really considered how some critics of the Tower of Babel, they will look at the verse just on its own and say, how was it possible that such a little population could build such a huge building that reaches to the sky? But really, these people who say these things, they don't really know the Bible, the whole flow of the Bible. But even within the church, we have people who go to church but who don't know the Word of God correctly. And so the people within the church can have these same kinds of thoughts as people outside of the world. But the most important thing is not the actual scale of the Tower of Babel. It's not important how many meters it actually was, but the purpose of the building in which it was built. And the purpose was that when the people built it, they wanted to be like God, and the pride that they had from that. It really repeats the sin of the original sin of eating from the fruit of tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was an act of turning against God onto the path of disobedience and sin. So if God left the people as they were, what he did. If God had left the people as they were at the time, and if he didn't scatter the people and their languages, then what would have happened is that they would have found themselves in the same position of having to be judged again, like in the flood. So God divides their language so they don't come together in one heart and do evil work in conjunction with one another. By setting up different cultures and different values to one another, each one of these cultures and nations can look over what other nations are doing and sort of act like a watchman or over other people as well. For example, there is widespread recognition in the world nowadays of recognition and acceptance of homosexuality. And it's really different when you go to different African countries, for example, where they have a religious political bodies. Countries like America are really ahead of other countries when it comes to doing evil and sinning. But when we go to some African nations, we can see that that homosexuality is still recognized as a sin. And I think if we were all of one mind and one language and one body, then I think that we as a world would have been judged long ago. So when we see these other nations like Africa, it really gives us an opportunity to rethink and repent by considering what other nations are doing. So the internet can be dangerous in some ways because it acts as like a globalization. And through social media, a lot of these wrong ideals and ideologies can be spread, like Islam. That the internet can be good and can be a blessing, but it also can be a dangerous. So we should not become addicted to the internet, but we should use it in the right way, so that through the internet we can use it for the right and righteous purposes. Whatever you do on your laptop, that you would do it with God's values and in accordance with the Word of God. So when the society we live in, we need to really know God's will and we need to declare God's will. So Australia voted recently for to recognise homosexual marriages. Korea is now debating this. But we really need to be vocal about our views. We really need to be vocal about them before the decision is made. If we don't, then if that law is decided, then we ourselves will just be will just be dragged along by the law. So we need to speak up before that law is made. So countries such as Africa, Russia, that they are totally against homosexuality. I think in that regard, we need to be thankful to them. And so it's for these kinds of reasons that God scattered languages. And so in the case, you have to put your phones on mute, please. I can actually hear the pastor. Everyone make sure, yeah, thank you. In the case of the Tower of Babel, it happened about 100 years after the flood. After the floods, the descendants of Noah grew and flourished in the area of Mesopotamia, and they scattered throughout that region. And it's only 100 years had passed, but already their faith toward God was fading away. So Noah and his family seem to have settled in the southern region of Mesopotamia in the Sumerian region. And from there, they would have been dreaming about expanding and living out their lives in this area and making a stable and comfortable life for themselves. And the first generation after the flood would have gradually settled and opened up a new world. And God's will is that God's people grow and thrive and live a happy life. The first generation after the flood would have gradually settled and opened up a new world for themselves. But God's will is that God's people grow and thrive and live a happy life in amongst God's creation. But people always tend to focus on what is what they want to do according to their instincts, rather than focusing on what is essential when they become stable in their lives, just as it was in the beginning, just as it was when it was in relation to the original sin. Adam and Eve, they just did what they did to fulfill their own desires and to live according to their own will. So they chose to live according to what they wanted compared to living according to God's will. So the people of the Tower of Babel, they really came together to really fulfill their greed. And so they chose not to go according to God's path, but they chose to go down their own path in their lives. God told Cain in relation to his anger, he told him, "Sin is sitting at your door. Do not let it rule over you. You must rule it well." Cain had clearly heard God's words, but he chose to go to do his own thing and murder his brother as a result, even though he knew that this was a sin. And so, So this sin is knowing God's will, but rejecting it explicitly, and then choosing to live according to your own desires. That was Cain's sin. And that was the sin of the Babel Tower. So Babel means the door of the gods. So basically what it means is that people wanted to consider themselves to be God and wanted to open the door of the gods. So it was only 100 years after the flood, after the judgment, that people just forgot. They didn't go into further obedience or relationship with God, but what they did was they made themselves to be gods. It's basically fulfilling what Satan wants. So heroes come, exist in any generation. Heroes always have the power to lead the crowd. They overcome crises. And so I think what people do is they sometimes consider them to be gods. But in fact, when it comes to overcoming crises, it's not people but God and His grace which allows people to overcome. But people fail to see the grace of God, and they only see the hero, that person, and so they praise and they worship the hero instead of God. In such an atmosphere, the people who are the heroes should not forget that they're in fact humble servants of God. And even after hearing the praise of so many people, these heroes become confused themselves. They deceive themselves, and they actually think that they deserve the great praise that they receive. When we look at TV stars and idols, they attract a lot of crowds these days. And without even knowing themselves, they begin to think that they're greater than they actually are. They pretend to be humble on the outside, but they so enjoy the praise that people are giving them. And so what they do want from there on end is they want to receive the love and adoration of a crowd, and they want to be exalted. So they forget the grace of the Creator God who saved them and put them in that position. They forget that they are actually the channel in which God uses to do His work. And instead of praising and elevating God, they take the glory instead. And this is what Satan did. He was an angel. If we look at history, we can see that this happens with the kings of ancient times. If you examine the history of the past, these kings were proud, and they actually called themselves a god, or they said that they were the sons of God. They just created these false myths and put themselves in the position of God in front of other people. This exists in our actual history. If you look at the kings in the past, we can see that it's full of idol worship. That's why we need to know the Babel Tower incident really well. So it is, when you look at, study the Sumerian culture through the archaeology and the history linked with that era, we can see this happening. So in terms of the history of Mesopotamia, in the kingdom of Akkadia, the king, his name was Naram-Sin. He was the first king to consider himself and claim to be God. So before that, all the kings just said that they were like a priest, but they never put themselves in the same position as God. But from King Naram-Sin, he actually declared himself to be God. So when we look at the Tower of Babel, we can see that it is representative that of people's desire to be equal with God, to become like God. So the Bible doesn't go into great detail into exactly what happened. But when we look at some of the historical sources, ancient historical records, and Jewish materials, we know that Nimrod, the son of Ham, the third grandchild of Noah, is the first leader of the rebellion against God. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "For thus sin has come into the world by one man, and death is coming by sin. So death has come upon all men, because all have sinned." The father of all creation, Adam, betrayed God by taking the forbidden fruit of good and evil. And by that man, Adam, all mankind was subject to the power of sin and death. So a new mankind has begun through the family of Noah, when all had been exterminated and killed by the floods. But a man named Nimrod fell into power. Through his power, he really bore the fruit of idolatry, and all of mankind was distanced from God and fell into spiritual warfare as a result. Through Nimrod, there is a specific sin committed against God, the sin of wanting to be like God. And it's through Nimrod that all the religions and myths of this world arose. It's confirmed through various historical records that this is the case. So archaeological excavations show that Nimrod described himself and was described as ascribed to as deity, as a god. So even in the Hebrew English dictionary, Nimrod, for example, the definition says that he's the son of God, the god of ancient Babylon called Marduk. So the first Sumerian civilization was led by the same was led by Nimrod, and after that the Semitic line of the Akkadian Empire dominated, and they competed for the initiative to take over the Mesopotamian region. They actually lived and populated a large area, as you can see in the PowerPoints. So the first humankind's first civilization is the Sumerian culture. And if you look at the Bible, the person who was really at the forefront of this this paganism and idolatry worship is Nimrod. And it's not mentioned in the Bible, but his wife, Nimrod's wife, is referred to in numerous historical texts. So when you look at the world and all the different kinds of different religions, when you look at the roots of the religions, you can see that it comes from one source. You can see that the source is Nimrod and his wife from this era. And so through Nimrod and his wife, all these false gods and these myths began to emerge. And a lot of the myths, you can see, they imitate God's heavenly creation, and God's great power was seen through the scattering and the giving of different languages. So this tower was not like a tall, towering, it was not a huge building, but it was a place of idolatry and a place that rejected the glory of God and deceived all the people at the time. It deceived people to think that they themselves could be the God of their lives, and it was a place of idol worship. So this is reflected in various sources of world history, including. So it's always been difficult to gain political power and have some coercion in any community, in any clan society in the history, in the past. So God himself even can't control what people do with their free will. And so they need some kind of a drastic intervention or some kind of serious threat before people really change their ways. So that is why these mysterious kind of myths and idols and all of these arose and were made so as to bring people together. So when we look at the history of ancient kingdoms, we can see that this was the way in which it was used to bring people together. But we see that at the foundation of the hearts of the kings is that they rejected the glory of God and they believed in that they themselves were God. This sin is traces left from the Garden of Eden, the original sin, and the sin that that we could see through the Babel Tower. And so human beings by nature seek to find meaning in their life, and the best way to present and realize the meaning of life is to know God's will. through the God who created us. However, Satan tries to intercept. He tries to... and so through religion, he tries to... He tries to make sure that we don't know the meaning of life through the true God. So what he does is that he distorts the meaning of the true meaning of life through religions. And so that so Nimrod was the beginning of this kind of great idolatry. He knew, and that started with the Babel Tower. And Nimrod's influence, his methods, and the Babel Tower, that was the beginning and the origin of all the idolatry in the world. About 1,000 years after the Babel Tower, God gave his 10 commandments to the people at Mount Sinai. And the first and second commandments basically make sure, basically very clear in the fact that people should not worship idols, that God does not accept this idol worship. And the law is really clear about not predicting the future through looking at the stars and prohibits this kind of thing. When we look in the Bible, it doesn't really clearly state or spell out what the act of idolatry was. But when we look at the Bible as a whole and we know God's will, and we know that God's will is always consistent throughout the Bible, and when we look at the laws given at Mount Sinai, which is, then we can see through this Babel Tower incident that God was so saddened and heartbroken at the fact that the people that his people had broken the first and second commandment. But today, so many people break the first and second commandment. They're just concerned about their lives, about buying a house, buying a car, doing what they need to be comfortable. So when we look at the idolatry started by Nimrod, who instigated the Babel Tower incident, this is not something that's specific in the Bible, but something that we can learn through historical sources. And in the historical texts, when we look at the origins of the gods of different countries, we see that the origin is all the same. And this shows us that people specifically had a common experience in one place where it all started. That's because people were all gathered into one place. They all lived as one before the judgment of the flood. So if you look at different countries, there's similar stories about the idols that existed. And as I said, it's because people were of one language and one nation before the judgment of after the judgment of the flood. And they experienced the Babel Top Tower together, and they were scattered around the world as a result. And also, some people believe this... the historical records coming from the Sumerian culture as being evidence of it being true, but there's not a lot of evidence. I mean, there's I think there are one or two historical items that were found, and so most people are convinced about the truth in these stories, just as they believe in the theory of evolution. So the Bible, there's so many copies of the Bible and historical texts that it demonstrates that the Bible has a more definitive history of the past. In fact, scholars who study archaeology or history do not dismiss the Bible or take the contents of the Bible lightly, but refer to it. So even with the myths, when you look at the myths behind all the myths, they all point to the Creator God. But people are disobedient, they forget what's occurred, and they exaggerate and make up false stories, which becomes the point of their idol worship. If you strip back all the myths, then it all points to it all points back to God. So the people, that is why the myths of the world flow in a similar way and are similar in content, but the Bible, although it's written by people, it's given by the revelation of God. It records the facts of real history that people couldn't necessarily recall, and gives us an accurate description of what occurred in our past. So at the time of the Babel Tower, which occurred because of Nimrod, according to the laws of population growth, the maximum number of people at the time was 10,000 people from the time of the birth of Peleg to approximately 1.5 million to the time when Peleg was 90 years of age. At the time, most of the people who were alive had already abandoned God and were walking in the way of Cain and Nimrod. And Nimrod really committed a great sin before God. Nimrod's wife was Semiramis. This woman's name also exists in many countries in their different respective myths. She obviously existed as a person, but she's in so many different myths that there's different versions and interpretations of her. But Nimrod died before his wife. And when he died, she placed herself as queen and she had power, but she was extremely wicked. So she said that she was the queen of heaven. She was saying because Nimrod was a god, she also was a god as well. So when you research into Sumerian culture, you can see that people, they called for rain, for their harvest by the sacrifice of blood. And there was also a practice of sleeping with prostitutes and priests at the temple. And this was the culture at the time. They had this belief that the gods must be excited or aroused in order for rain to come. It was a strange kind of practice. And looking at Babylonian times, it was customary for Babylonian women to at least once in their lifetime to have a sexual encounter with a man other than their husband at the shrine of the Melita goddess. This was really necessary. And there were some women, there's a record that some women waited for 4 years for someone to take up... To have the sexual encounter with. So despite the death of her husband, Semiramis gave birth to a son, and this woman called her child Nimrod's reincarnation and called her son Tammuz and called him the sun god. The story of the sun god can be seen in many countries, although he's referred to by different names. Despite the child was an illegitimate child, Semiramis called Tammuz a descendant of, referred to Tammuz as being the child of the woman from the start of creation, the mother of creation, and she referred to Tammuz as the savior, and this is in Genesis 3:5, and she actually ends up marrying her own son, and so she marries the sun god and she became at the same time the wife and the mother of the sun god. So these things were occurring before the Babel Tower incidents. So at the time of the Babel Tower, people were worshipping idols in this way. So after all the people were scattered throughout the world, you can see the similarities in this mother and son god of the sun and this story. It's actually quite consistent, the male and the female, the mother and the sun gods. So even though the languages were different and the people were scattered throughout the world, the root of all idol worship through the world is the worship of Nimrod's wife and her son. There's a commonality in this throughout the world. So evidence of these roots can be seen by looking at the gods in each country. In Babylon, Semiramis. In China, Our Lady. In Germany, Hertha. In Scandinavia, Deza. In Etruscan, Nutria. Druid, Virja, Patatura. In India, Indrani or Devaki. And the sun is Krishna. In Rome, it's Venus and her son Jupiter. Cybele and Deus. In the land of Canaan, it was Ashtaroth, Ephesus, Artemis, and Diana. In the Corinthians region, it was Aphrodite. In Egypt, it's Isis, Horus. And this same concept exists in the form of the goddess mother god and the sun god. And so it was used continuously by people in power in order for them to gain even more power. And so the world became familiar with the worshipping of a mother and a son. And so these continued until the times of Roman times. And so it then crept into or became a large part of Catholicism's idea to serve the Virgin Mary and his son Jesus Christ. And what it does is it emphasizes the mother deity. At the beginning, there was no doctrine about Mary. But in 431 AD, in the Council of Ephesus, they debated on whether Mary was the mother of God or whether she was the mother of Christ. The question was, is Mary the mother of God or Mary the mother of Christ? And it was concluded after debate that she was the mother of God at this time. So that this then began the transformation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it began the start of Catholicism. And so this occurred about 300 years, the council meeting, the Council of Ephesus occurred about 300 years after the preaching of the gospel in the early church, after the apostles lost their lives. And it continued for approximately 1,500 years until... and so what happens now... Sorry, I'll just rewind. And this continued. And now the Pope, through the Catholicism, what the Pope says has higher... standing than what's in the Word of God. And Catholicism says that Mary is the Queen of Heaven. So after approximately 1,500 years after the meeting in the Council of Ephesus in 1931, in the commemoration of the 1,500th anniversary of the Council of Ephesus, it was again confirmed that Mary is the Mother of God. So Protestants and the Orthodox Church believe that Jesus is the incarnate Son of God, but Roman Catholicism emphasizes the divinity of the Virgin Mary. So what it means is, they're saying that there is a mother of the Holy Trinity, that she is part of that Holy Trinity, that she is the Holy Mother. The same a principle of what happened with Nimrod's wife is continuing to today. And they also claim that Catholics commemorate the August the 15th as the day of Ascension of Mary, and they claim that she went into heaven in both her body and soul just as Jesus did. And therefore she encapsulates innocence, the eternal virgin, a co-redeemer and the Queen of Heaven in Catholicism. We really need to know the Bible correctly. When we look at the history of the Bible, there's so much that we don't know and we just accept without really thinking about it. It's a really serious problem that we have. And this is a root of, because the root of Catholicism and the root of Christianity is totally different. However, when we look at Christianity today, there's an increase in the ecumenical movement within Christianity. The ecumenical movement is basically combining Christianity, Catholicism, Greek Orthodoxy, Russian religious society. It's saying, let's just all become one. You know, we used to be all one in the past before we went in separate ways. Let's go back. But if you really consider this carefully, we're not all from the same root. Some people saying, well, Catholics, we're all going on the same path. No, we're going on completely different paths. Some people describe Catholicism as the big house and Christianity as a small house within the big house. But in actual fact, they're totally different houses. If we all have the same route, then we would all go in the same direction anyway. I mean, that would happen by nature. We wouldn't have to like make an effort to go together. But people don't know the history of the Bible. They don't know, and there's so many people who fall over and they're going the wrong way because they don't know. So then, what meaning does the Reformation have in history? If we're okay to be one with Catholicism, didn't Reformation take place because
Reformation took place because people were using the Bible but not actually talking about what was in the Bible, and they were making religion based on their own thoughts. That's why the Reformation took place. Fundamentally, the roots of Catholicism are wrong, and therefore it's continuing to go in the wrong direction. It is actually a rotting root that is in Catholicism. Even if you say you say that you use the Bible, but there's so many heretics out there and so many cults that are walking in completely different ways. There are many names listed after Noah, and they're clearly mentioned in the Bible, but there's no actual mention that these people lived according to God's ways. Isaac and Ishmael, they came from, they had the same father, Abraham, but they were divided by their faith. Esau and Jacob, they came from the same womb. They came from the same mother, Rebecca, but they were divided according to their faith. We know Cain and Abel, they came out from the same mother, Eve, but they walked completely different paths in life. So we really need to discern the Bible properly, and we need to know history properly. As leaders, you really need to you need to have some fear, a level of fear and some trembling before the Word of God. If you don't prepare the Word of God, if you just do everything haphazardly or like half-heartedly, God knows this. This is an extremely serious problem. Today we see so much idolatry, materialism, sexual sin, and hedonism. Don't forget that in us we all have the sin of wanting to build the Tower of Babel, that we have the sin of wanting to eat the fruit of good and evil. And so therefore we need to be awake in the Word of God, because, I mean, it doesn't take 100 years for people to be corrupt. It takes, I mean, we say amen and hallelujah, and then we walk out and we completely forget what we learned. This is what's in the Babel Top incident. So we really need to know the creation, the fall, the judgment of the flood, and the Tower of Babel. We need to know them really properly, so that when we then continue on the study of the Word of God, we can really understand and really follow the truth of the Word of God, so that we can make the Word of God a priority in our lives. Let's pray.